This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Open Mind Self-Care Sessions with me, Frankie Bridge. Today's episode is around loneliness, and I'm joined by Karen Dolver, co-founder and CEO of No Isolation, which is a tech company focused on tackling loneliness. Thanks for joining me, Karen. As you can imagine, at the minute, loneliness was quite a popular subject with my followers. What made you start No Isolation?
It's a long story. Loneliness has been something I've experienced myself. My co-founders have experienced it, but we're all computer scientists. So we sat down and figured, hey, if technology can cause this much harm, it can probably cause equal amount of good. Maybe we should give it a go. And it all started for us with kids suffering from long-term illness. So we ended up building a telepresence robot for them so that they can attend school, almost like they were there themselves. And it's worked well, which we're so happy about. And then under this No Isolation umbrella, we hope to kind of target all the different groups of the population who suffers from loneliness or social isolation. And yeah, we've just gotten started.
That's amazing. And how common would you say loneliness is then?
Much more common than we think. Even now, I think it's gotten a well-deserved attention publicly, but still more than a third of the seniors are saying that they're lonely on a daily basis. Now it seems like the young population, 18 to 25, are almost up to one third as well, which is devastating. People can definitely be lonely even if they are surrounded by people. You can be very lonely in a relationship or at school. And I think we need a lot more awareness of what is loneliness and what can we do about it? Because there are a lot of things to be done. We just need to recognize them.
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest things is obviously when you think of loneliness, you think of people being on their own. And, you know, that's kind of the easiest thing that we think of. But one of the biggest things that came in online for me was people saying that they feel alone, even in a room full of people or even with all their loved ones around them. Which is something I've experienced before. How does someone tackle that, do you think? And why do they feel that way?
It's a large question, and it will be individual answers there. But loneliness, it appears when there's a gap between what like social connections you have and what you think you should have or what you want. You can play board games with your family on a Saturday evening and still feel extremely lonely because you think perhaps that you should have been doing something else. You should have been with other people. And that just feels like a gap or you missing out. And you can be feeling very lonely in a relationship if you feel like your partner is not someone you can talk to about anything. So there's a lot of variations in how your loneliness is perceived. I think the first step would be to recognize like what type of relationships and what type of communication do I want? Because trying to figure out what do I feel like I'm missing instead of just feeling like I'm missing something would be a good place to start. And then meeting people and being with people is unfortunately a lot like exercising. So for those of us who doesn't love exercising, myself included, it's something I have to do and where I realize that, okay, this is good for me. I just have to get myself together and do this. And being with people is very much the same. So if you haven't been actively like achieving your social goals for the past like months or weeks, then starting to be social might be super tough. Like actually going to that party that you last Saturday, you thought you were a fool for not attending everything. And then this Saturday, you have the opportunity to actually meet friends or see a movie. And then you skip out because you feel like, okay, I'm not ready for this. And it would be nice just being on the couch. I think that's the point where you think of socializing as jogging and you just do it. And afterwards, it will feel amazing. You'll be so happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think very often we think of the social part of our life as just fun and games and something that should only give us energy. But it is actually time consuming and it costs us a lot of energy, at least to get started, before it gives energy. Very similar to exercising, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a really good point because quite a few people said to me, I feel really lonely, but when people invite me out, I then don't want to go. And I've 100% been that person. Yeah. I've sat at home and I've been like, oh, I've got no friends and no one wants to hang out with me and yeah. Nobody likes me. And then someone says to me, oh, hey, do you want to come round? And I'm like, no.
Exactly.
And then it's just like a vicious cycle. And that's such a good point. It's like once you go, you do feel better, but it's like that dread of it. And forcing yourself to do it. And then you remember, oh, this is really nice.
Yeah.
That's and then good to mix with people.
it hurts slightly less the next time. And it hurts even less the time after that. And then all of a sudden, time four, it's purely enjoyable, which is, yeah, I think for people to just think, what do I want? Like, when do I feel like I'm missing out? Is that on calling a friend like I feel like I should do, but then I don't because, ugh, it's going to last for half an hour. I don't have half an hour. Is that the kind of connection that you would love to have, but that you just stop yourself from having? Or is it something else? And by recognizing it, you can sort of say to yourself, now I'm going to at least try to do that for five times. And if I don't feel better after having attempted this five times, then I'll give myself a break. But I think people try too little and they think of social connection as something that just comes for free. And that's, all fun and games.
I think that's going to be a big thing, like where we've been in lockdown for so long.
Yeah.
I know lots of people are feeling super lonely at the moment, but there's also that fear of like, now we can kind of see the end and we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, which you're like, I should feel really happy about this. But actually there's that feeling inside of, oh, now I've got to be social again. And now I've got that like extra, I don't know, pressure, even though you really want it. It's so weird.
Yeah. No, but I think, again, like jogging, if you are a person that enjoys jogging and you stop for 2 months, it's going to be hard starting up again. So I think even if you're super social and you used to do a lot of things and now you've been in full lockdown, starting up again can be tough. If you're not particularly social and you've lost those few like routines that you had that kept you social, building up those again are going to be extremely difficult. I think we'll see a lot of mental health issues into 2022 that we didn't have before. And I'm kind of scared, especially for the young adults, 18 to 25. Yeah, I'm crossing my fingers that they're very aware of their own situation and that they buckle up and try to fix it. But it cannot get enough attention.
I know that you are using, you know, like computers and stuff for good. And like you said, there can be, you know, bad sides to it. Yeah. But do you feel like social media, online gaming, all that kind of thing has actually, you know, made loneliness worse? Although it connects us in a way, do you think that has made it worse, especially with young people?
I think there are different types of technology definitely impacting us differently. What we know has happened with social media that isn't good is the increased expectation levels. Because loneliness is so subjective and it's all connected to what we expect of ourselves, the higher the expectation levels we have, the greater is the likelihood of us experiencing loneliness. So in that regard, it hasn't been great. We also know that having large networks has zero effect on how well connected we feel. It's all about knowing that if I need help, I'm going to get it, rather than there are a ton of people out there who knows who I am. When it comes to gaming, I have quite the opposite. I feel like it's achieved quite the opposite effect, where the gaming companies have been really good at building up these social arenas where you actually get friends, you build teams and relationships, and you fight together towards some common goal, which is why there are, I don't know, probably 1,000 World of Warcraft babies out there today, like where their parents have met through the game, which I find incredible. And I don't think the gaming society receives enough applause for how they've built a lot of these games into being as social as they are. And I think the only thing lacking there is the actual feeling of the people playing the game that this is enough. Because if you think digital like friends are enough of social interaction for me, then you're not going to be feeling lonely. If you think that that's stigmatized or that that's the wrong type of friends, then you are going to be feeling lonely because you're not going to count them as the valid type of friends that you need. So it's all about how we ourselves perceive our relationships and what value we put into them, which is quite interesting.
Well, you've made me feel a bit better about gaming then, because everyone always gives it such bad rap, such bad rep, and I've got a young son who loves it, and I'm always like, oh, he's not gonna know how to make friends and but you know, so thanks for that.
You're welcome. No, there's a lot of really good games out there that are that are definitely encouraging the right type of learning and the right type of socializing. And and I think the friends that I have that game a lot, they're super good at perceiving like clues and picking up on what people are telling them without like being pushed. And they take hints, and I think they learn how to be social in a very different way. That might be not bad, but better. Okay.
A lot of people ask, how do you help someone who's feeling lonely? What's the best way to approach that?
Again, like quite individual thing. I think always you need to dare to approach the question. Like I think you should get out and try to talk to the person or the people that you think might be lonely about what kind of social environment they would want to have. Because just saying, okay, I think you would love to go to this party or to this movie or to the park, and see what they say and see if they're resonating from a place of fear where, okay, I don't want to go to the park because, and then start coming up with excuses. Or if it's something else, I think I'd start trying to pick up the threads of why are you hiding, and can I attack that from any angle? Like, am I welcome to come and join you and see a movie at your place? Like, lower the threshold for meeting and see if you can like incrementally introduce other people to their lives. I think a full-fledged like forcing people to attend things might not be successful. It has been successful with me when I was at my lowest point, like beginning of my studies. I had one not yet friend who kept pushing me to attend things and literally forcing me, like, we need you to be here now. And that really ended up working. And I didn't understand what she was doing. I thought she was a proper pain in the ass for like nagging on me all the time. Like, you need to come, you need to come. And I'm like, if you're not able to enjoy this without me being there, then I don't think this will be any fun. But yeah, I eventually started coming out to these things that she tried to get me to come to. And all of a sudden it was fun.
So she was persistent.
She was very persistent. And I'm not sure that strategy would have worked with anyone or everyone, but persistency in some way is always good, I guess.
A lot of people said about making friends as adults, because I think that's something that's really hard if you move to a new area, or maybe you've started a new job or something. Have you got any tips in that regard?
Several. It's been proven that dogs are super efficient at making us new friends. So if you have a dog, good choice. Go to the park, somewhere where you meet other dog owners. For some reason, they end up becoming friends whilst adults, which is really cool. I can also highly recommend joining something that goes on, like a charity or something in your local community. Pick up a class that lasts for a while, so that every Tuesday night you have to attend this or that. And if that is about books or swords, I don't really care, like, but make it consistent, not a weekend class, but something that you have to show up for quite a while, because it takes time to build trust. And everyone knows that it's awkward to invite someone out for a coffee after having met them twice. But if you've been at the same place for every Tuesday the past 3 months, then maybe it isn't weird anymore. And same with charity work, that if you sign up for something, then make sure that you're there on the same time slot, so that you meet some of the same people over and over and over again. Because it's unfortunately a volume game where, yes, you might find someone that you instantly click with, but make sure that you meet them again and again without having to ask. I think that's a large part of the key.
Yeah, it's kind of putting yourself in the right situation.
Yeah, and consistently. And I think online now as well, there are tons of things, but it might be harder, and especially for the adult population, to use forums and such to get friends. But I think if you have any specific interest, that will be a very good place to start. Like if you like quilting or if you like woodworking or anything of the sorts, then dig deep there, because you're going to find like-minded people.
And what about if you're someone who, as an adult, quite a lot of people have said they're single now, so they might have been married before and they're divorced now, so they're surrounded by friends with couples.
Yeah.
How, and that can feel quite lonely, can't it, if you're always the only one and everyone else has got a significant other.
Yeah. And again, that's the expectation, right? If you think that that's what everyone else expects from you, then you start expecting it from yourself as well. And then all of a sudden you disappoint yourself on some social point in life. But cut yourself some slack and work on, like, am I expecting this because everyone else is, or am I expecting this because I actually really need and want a partner in my life? So I think I tried to give myself some slack in that situation. And obviously now with the flourish of dating services that are online, then it's definitely worth a try. You're going to meet a lot of people that you don't want to marry, but maybe you only need one. So
I think people get disheartened with it, don't they? After a while, they're like, oh, I've not met, because you only ever really hear the good stories. And then it's hard, though, I think, for older people to go online. I think for younger people, they meet people online and that's kind of normal. But I still feel like for even my generation, for me, it's weird to meet someone from online, because when I was younger, that was, you can't do that, that's dangerous. Yeah. And now all of a sudden it's like, but that's what everyone does. I think that's what, you know, some people I know are like, oh, I'm not meeting someone online.
Yeah.
But I suppose you don't know them any more than you would meeting someone in a bar. Or...
No, I think the great thing about online is that you often get a chance to chat more than you would have physically. Because if you meet someone at a bar or in the park, you don't instantly start actually talking. You'll chat a lot about the weather, you'll chat about whether or not your dog or that dog over there has done something funny. But I think online you go much quicker to that conversation, like, what do you enjoy and who are you? So in some way, I would assume that relationships started online will have a much more efficient start, where you might actually get to know the personality behind the person faster.
Yeah, quite a few people say that, actually. You kind of get into a deeper conversation a lot quicker and a lot easier.
Yeah.
And quite a common one with people that with newborns, do you find that with the work that you do, that you get quite a lot of, not always just first-time mums, like most of them were first-time mums that feel lonely, but also just people who are maybe a stay-at-home mum, or so they're with kids all the time. Do you find that's quite a common loneliness?
Yes, statistically, like first-time parents are significantly more lonely than the rest of the population. It's quite devastating, to be honest. Luckily, quite a few services out there now, so it should be possible, if you've kind of pinpointed yourself that now I'm experiencing loneliness, I should do something about it. There's quite a few initiatives out there. But still, what actually happens with first-time parents is that every time we kind of uproot ourselves. So if you get a kid for the first time, if you move to a new city, if you get a diagnosis that stops you from living the way you used to live, or anything of the sorts, and you have to grow new roots, this is where loneliness happens. So if you look at like the groups of populations that are statistically more lonely, they're always connected to some kind of massive life change. And within seniors, it's where the most of these life changes happens at once. Like they all of a sudden become physically impaired, or they lose their partner, or they have to move their home to somewhere else. Like a lot of these things happen at the same time, which exposes them to isolation. And I think for new parents, it's not enough talked about, and I don't think people expect it. Like they're heading into a happy period, right?
Yeah.
Which might, make it even worse, because again, expectations is everything.
Expectation. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of pressure to be happy. This is supposed to be the best time of your life, and you're supposed to be great at it. And do you feel like that's where probably a lot of that comes from?
Yeah, and then you have to massively change your life. Like, you cannot go to a cafe whenever you want. You cannot attend whatever dinner you want to, and you cannot have friends over whenever you want to, like you used to. So there are like massive structural changes that you have to make in your life. And if you're going to maintain like your social environment, you have to work quite hard at that. And I think people aren't expecting it and aren't like facilitating for that change and recognizing that I'm not going to be as social. And if I'm going to be as social, it's going to require a lot from me. And if they were aware of this heading in, I think it would be much less bad, to be honest. Just knowing
it's that, like, there's a lot of guilt in it, isn't there? It's like you can't say that you're lonely or you're finding it hard because everyone will think you don't love your child or you're, you know, it's so hard.
But everyone who's seen a baby who's less than 1 year old know that they're not great conversational partners. it's not like the social conversations or anything that you had before getting a baby are now replaced by the baby. Not in any way, right? So,
Yeah, I always say to my friends, I'm like, look, they give you nothing back until they start smiling. It literally feels like you give everything and they give you nothing. And I always tell my friends that, which sounds mean because obviously you love them and it's lovely, but literally you're giving them everything and they just nothing. Yeah. All they do is poo, sleep, cry. And then when they start smiling, you're like, yes, some interaction.
Yeah, but still, like, that smile, oh, as much as it kind of warms your heart, it's not like a baby's going to help you out if something happens to your mom or something happens to you. Like, you need to know that the people around you will listen and try to help you out if something happens, right? So we should never put that on a baby to fix, because they won't be able to.
They can't.
No.
So what would be your top three tips then for someone that's struggling with loneliness?
To identify what is it that you're missing. I definitely start there, because anything and everything else will kind of follow. And then recognize that this is going to be actually work. Like, it's not going to come for free. You have to work at it. And then three, allow yourself to be content. Like, just say to yourself, I'm okay with being happy. Like, I want to be happy. I think a lot of people are okay with being miserable, and saying the sentence, I want to be okay, I want to be happy, is often difficult. So I do those three, and I think you'll be fine. Like, people are struggling with a lot of things all the time. Like, you're never alone in that. And as long as we think that we might be okay, then I think things will sort itself out to some extent.
And where, and then where can they go if they want to know more or they want some help? Have you got any places they can go to?
I think there are a million places online, and again, so individual. We have a few resources on our site on what loneliness is. So if you want to like dig deep into what is actually happening to me now, then noisolation.com might be a place to start. A lot of charities have different initiatives. There are also a lot of online videos and seminars where you can kind of scope out what is this really. But yeah, talk to your friend as well. Like, just saying, I'm not sure if I'm lonely or not, but I might be, will definitely be a good start for a very good conversation, because they might be feeling lonely too. Like, it's worth talking about.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, when you actually pluck up the courage sometimes to say something. You find so many people you know have been feeling the same, and none of you have been saying anything.
Exactly. But as long as you haven't said anything yourself as well, then you have to sometimes find the courage, as you said.
Oh, thank you so much. I found it fascinating. I don't think you often hear people talking about loneliness as, you know, like a single subject. I think people group it in with so many things, and yet it's something that so many of us have felt over time.
Yeah.
And it can be confusing trying to figure out what that is. So thank you so much.
No, it was wonderful being here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Open Mind Self-Care Sessions. I really hope that this has been helpful to you. And if you've been affected by this episode or would like to find out any more information regarding mental health, then please head over to mind.org. If you've got any questions which you'd like to get answered, then please follow me on Instagram and look out for my stories, where I collect all of your fantastic thoughts and questions for each episode.